Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Hearst Ranch. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural grass-fed and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that is as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information on Hearst Ranch, go to HearstRanch.com. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food. Culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. I spotlight good food fighters and the culture of the good food movement, from chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking food headlines, street food, and the Hot Five. If you're listening live to Heritage Radio Network, Hot Grease, our live call-in number is 718-497-2128. Give us a buzz, particularly if you have comments about food headlines or food trucks in your area. Monthly, we try to dedicate a segment or two to food news, and you will either hear my Gab Fest with a guest or me solo. But today it's going to be yours truly. Up first, Shirley Sherrod's new gig with USDA. Well, let me clear this up. Her not finalized gig with USDA. I saw it around the blogosphere and Twitterverse that Shirley Sherrod would be working with USDA. Obama Foodorama actually wrote an article about they're in talks with the USDA. If some of you guys may remember, last summer, Shirley Sherrod was forced to resign from her USDA job that was based in Georgia after portions of a video were misrepresented, and she was basically accused of being racist. Since then, we've heard quite a few rumblings and mumblings about her possibly going back to the USDA. So apparently she's in talk to go back to with the USDA. What I love about her going back there is that she is not going as an employee. It seems that it's going to be a contract position, and she's going to be helping with some of the racial discrimination that has been going on for years in the United States Department of Agriculture. So I'm really excited about that. I actually had a chance to hear her speak a few months ago. I need to post a picture so you guys can see it. It was dynamic. She spoke for an hour and a half about her entire life of service. It was the most moving thing. I need to see if they have it. Jesse Knowles Foundation, which is a foundation based here in New York City. They actually brought her here. I need to check and post and see if they have that online. But that's the first food news, food headlines. Miss Shirley Sherrod is going to be doing great things. Next up, if you're a foodie, I know some people hate that term, or whatever you call yourself, you have to be living under a rock if you did not hear about Gourmet Magazine and Gwyneth Paltrow, aka I call her GP, Miss Goop. Man, folks, the comments were absolutely crazy on Gourmet's website, on their Facebook page, as well as their Twitter page. And some of the comments were, people were like, I'm unsubscribing. I don't believe that. People were just, they were going in on Gwyneth Paltrow. I'm going to have to give this disclaimer. I am a huge Gwyneth Paltrow fan, okay? So I'm one of those folks who I'm like, so freaking what? She's on the cover. I'm a fan. I've been a fan since 2000, since In Love with Shakespeare. Did I say that movie wrong, Jack? Probably so. In Love with Spe- anyway, the movie that she won the Oscar and she had on the pink dress and she was like really, really thin. I've been in love with her since then.
Shakespeare in Love.
Okay. Yeah, Shakespeare in Love. Something like that. But I'm not opposed to it. I'm totally not opposed to her being on the cover. I love my friend Marianne Porch. You can find her on Twitter at Mary A. Porch. Her comment was probably the most civil comment that I saw all day. Basically was, why did Gourmet Magazine choose to put such a polarizing figure on the cover of Gourmet? So I need to call or email Mary and ask her, is she okay with celebrities being on the cover? Or she just felt like Gwyneth Paltrow was so polarizing. Yeah, she can be polarizing. Some people feel like she's a spoiled rich girl that's out of touch with everyday people. That's probably true. But I think that she is very self-aware of her privilege. And she likes food. So, and the bottom line is Gourmet Magazine. I'm saying Gourmet. Lord, not Gourmet. Bon Appetit. They're trying to sell magazines, folks. And they sure got people buzzing. So, again, food culturalist opinion is I'm cool with BA putting celebrities on the cover. Gwyneth Paltrow, love seeing her on the cover. I'm going to be honest. I don't look at Bon Appetit for recipes. I really don't. I look at cookbooks and I go online. I pick up magazines really just to get entertained. So, yeah, that's my opinion. And last but not least, if some of you guys are listening and you follow me on Twitter, you know what I tweeted. So, what's his name? Adam Raptor, which is the new editor of Bon Appetit. If you're listening, Emily Flyshaker, if you're listening, I want you guys to put Tracy Ellis Ross, the daughter of Diana Ross, on the cover, or Dave and Allie Greer. Dave and Allie Greer is has a food blog, and I think he actually purchases meat and stuff from Heritage Food USA. So put him on the cover, please. Thanks. So if you have any more comments or about that, send me a tweet. Go to my Facebook page. I had a little commentary on Facebook about it. Tell me what you think. Next, speaking of online magazines and newness and new media, Guilt Taste actually launched last week. GILTTaste.com. Some of you guys may know Guilt from their weekly or daily specials of clothes and all that good stuff. So they launched a new food portal, a new food magazine. And what I'm going to have to give them kudos for is that Barry Estabrook wrote an article, "What Will Fracking Do to Your Food Supply?" I'm like, bam, bam, out of the gate, food politics. I love it. I love that they are not afraid to bring the food politics piece to Guilt Taste. Ruth Reichel is heading up Guilt Taste, and Barry Estabrook, as you guys, some of you guys may know, he was formerly at Gourmet Magazine and wrote a lot about food politics. So if you get a chance, check out the article. I love it. There's a lot going on in New York City about fracking and food. It's an issue that some people don't feel connected to, but I like that. I don't know if I call Guilt Taste a mainstream magazine, but a niche magazine, this niche magazine, is actually talking about it. So check it out. Yeah, that's it. I talked too much about Gourmet, I'm sure. Yeah, let me send this request out to folks. If you have any food headlines or something that you want me to talk about, I mean, I read probably several dozen articles from blogs and newspapers every week. But if it's something very interesting, send it to me. You can send it to Nicole@foodculturist.com. That's all the food headlines. We are going to take a short break and come back with Street Food USA. I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of. Cause I didn't know enough.
following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Tune into The Food Scene Tuesdays at 3 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network. Hosted by Michael Harlan Turkel, photo editor of Edible Brooklyn and Edible Manhattan magazines, he'll further explore the amalgamation of food and art by talking to artists from a multitude of media. Guests will range from photographers, food stylists, interior architects for restaurants, industrial designers, all the players that make you want to eat with your eyes. Get ready to feast your ears every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. If you're just tuning in for the first time, we're also on iTunes. You can go to iTunes and you can click Hot Grease and you will see my lovely face and you can subscribe to the podcast. East Coast, Atlanta, West Coast, Madison, Wisconsin, food trucks are taking over the world. So I just left the Zagat food truck frenzy. I was rushing here. I left there at 3 o'clock on the dot and I actually made it here to Roberta's like in 30 minutes, a little less than 30 minutes. And it was really cool, really organized. I have to do some shameless shout outs and plugs. So I saw there were two celebrity sightings. One was Ethan Hawke. Damn, he looks good. He was not getting food. He was actually going down the street, running down the street in Chelsea, like jogging or like, I don't know what he was doing. So I don't know if he was actually at the Zagat food truck frenzy, but I saw Ethan Hawke. And as I was leaving and getting my last, using my last little token, Sandra Bernhardt, you know, the really big mouth comedian with the really curly hair. She was standing there and she was asking the folks like, what's going on here? I want to get food. And it was funny because they didn't know if they should say, yeah, go ahead and get some. But they were trying to direct her to 21st Street where the sign in location or the location to actually pay for a ticket and the other row of food carts were. And she was just wandering up to the door. So, and it's funny because I was watching Paul Mooney, one of his stand-up shows, and she was in the audience and she was doing a little play about Paul Mooney. So Sandra Bernhardt, we need to get you on the show. I wonder if she's a food person. Shout out. So anyway, forget the celebrity sighting. So I want to talk about some of the food trucks that were there. These are trucks that are based in New York City. For some people who are listening outside of New York City, please send me, I meant to tweet this earlier today, some of your favorite food trucks in your city from East Coast, West Coast, the South. But I just wanted to shout out a few that I had today. I actually, a lot of these trucks I've had food at from already. But I had Feed Your Hole. Ha ha ha. Funny, right? Feed Your Hole. They were actually serving a burger, a mini grass-fed burger with like goat cheese and some kind of caramelized onions. Pretty good. It was really good. They had some kind of sauce on there. I told them to hold the sauce. I just wanted to taste the burger. Seemed like it was going to be a little bit too much. So that was my first time trying them. Feed Your Hole. They're on Twitter. I put a picture on Twitter of my friend Donnie biting into a burger at the Zagat food truck frenzy. Jack is gonna die laughing when I say this. So Cool Haas, they are the makers of ice cream sandwiches, and guess what they were making, Jack? Red velvet sandwiches, red velvet cookie ice cream sandwiches. Okay, I was not gonna try it, Jack, but I'm like, I have to try it. Okay, how can I be nice? How can I say this? I mean, the cookie had a great bite to it, but I am sick of people. You can't just turn everything into a red. You can't just put red food coloring into everything and want to call it red velvet something. Please give it another name. Call it America the Beautiful something. But I'll have to say the cookie was, you know, chewy, but it didn't remind me anything of a red velvet cake beyond the color. But I did try it. I mean, I can't go somewhere and not try the red velvet cake. So, give it a try and let me know what you guys think. They also had like a mint chocolate chip ice cream and just a regular chocolate cookie. But I went for that. Yeah, so you can go actually on Zagat Food Trucks Frenzy, or you can go on Twitter if you're on Twitter. And I'm not sure if they're on Facebook, and kind of look at the list of all the food trucks that were at the thing. It was really cool. I love going to these things, particularly to check out new and exciting food trucks. Speaking of food trucks, for all my Philly listeners, I feel like I've been talking about Philly a lot lately. There's going to be a Philly Vindy Awards, the Philly Vindy Awards, which are actually being co-organized or curated, or I don't know how you want to say it, by the Vindy Awards New York. Full disclaimer, I'm actually on the benefit committee. This is my second year on there, but they're going to be doing the first annual Philly Vindy Awards, and the date is actually July 9th at 3 p.m. at the Plaza at Schmidt's. Not sure about the price, but I'm going to take a trip down there. Check them out. The money raised is going to go to the Food Trust. It is a nonprofit in Philadelphia. So it's all going to a good cause, just like the New York City Street Vendor Award, which goes to the Street Vendor Project. We need to get Helena on the show. She's the managing director of the Vindy Awards. Helena, shout out, girl. You got to come on the show soon. Let's talk Vindy. Vindy. So I'm in full Vindy mode. My final little thought about the Vindy Awards is that, or vendor, street vendors. I picked up a great book. It came out this year, Food Trucks by Heather Schaus, and Food Trucks, Dispatches and Recipes from the Best Kitchens on Wheels. She breaks it down by region, West Coast, North Pacific Northwest, Midwest, South, East Coast. Yeah, it's cool. She has some of the popular food trucks, and she also throws in a few of the ones that are under the radar. I like that. What I like, one of my favorite ones, in the very back, the last food truck she mentions is Fresh Local. It's in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. I am dying to go to Portsmouth, New Hampshire. I told someone the other day and they were like, why? I heard it's like this little foodie town. And so on the last page on 191, she talks about a food truck there. It's only one. So any Portsmouth, New Hampshire people in the house, tell me what else is going on food wise and food truck wise there. And yeah, food trucks, y'all. I love talking about food trucks. If you are out there and you want to share your favorites, please do so. We're going to take a short break and come back with the Hot Five.
Major Lazer.
On the floor.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced and engineered by Jack Inslee. This program is being sponsored by Hearst Ranch. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. I gotta say this, so that you guys were just listening to Major Lazer. That was not Beyonce, but that was the original, folks. Get with it, Major Lazer. So, super sizzling and super succulent. It must be the Hot Five. The Hot Five is a rundown of five things on fire in the good food movement. Influencers, farmers, celebrities, business owners, and chefs dish on their favorite. On the phone to demystify meat buying for our Memorial Day grilling is Rod Morrison of Rocky Mountain Organic Meats. Welcome to Hot Grease, Rod.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Rod, you're going to give us five tips, or really how to demystify this whole natural, organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, corn-finished. Five things that we need to know when we're going to our local butcher or if we're going to our regular supermarket or bodega. Number five on the demystifying meat buying list.
Yes, ma'am. We're talking about organic beef. Now, that is the top of the food pyramid kind of meat that a person can buy. Organic means there are no pesticides, no herbicides, no industrial fertilizers, no chemicals, no man-made products whatsoever, including drugs, antibiotics, or hormones. And by being certified organic and having that on the label, you can be guaranteed that the food producer and the food processor are also certified organic and inspected. So it's the purest thing on the planet when it comes to eating meat any other kind of vegetable that's labeled organic.
Let me ask you this, Rod. So if I see a label that says organic beef, should I assume that it's grass finished?
No, you can't really assume that. What we have on our label is we are grass finished. And because we say that, we are actually grass finished. There's no other definition besides organic grass fed that can use that kind of language. In the grass fed business, USDA's definition, if it's on the label, can actually mean it can be fed corn, because corn biologically is a grass.
Uh-huh.
USDA. So when you see grass fed on a label, you know, it could easily have been COFA beef, which is confined animal feeding operations, and being fed silage, which is ground up corn.
Gotcha. So number four on the Hot Five, demystifying meats with Rod from Rocky Mountain Organic Meats. What's number four on your list?
Number four on my list is the word natural. I mean, that is the biggest misnomer there is on in the food labeling business. USDA's definition, legal definition of natural, means limited processing and no additives. Natural was defined by USDA for food processors, not food producers. So when you see natural, you kind of go, okay, what's that mean? It means limited processing, no additives. What does that mean?
So
that's as far as they go.
So Rod, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say this: would you tell people? I basically ignore everything that says natural. I go straight to the label if it says natural. What are your opinions on that?
I agree. You certainly want to look at the ingredients. You know, when it comes to a natural product, I'm a little bit like Michael Pollan and Alice Waters. If you can't read the label, you probably don't want to eat it.
Exactly. All right, so we have number five. We started off with organic. Number four is, what did we say number four was?
Well, we could say number four was grass-fed.
Grass.
I mean, a lot of people are using that definition along with free-range. I mean, there's no such definition for free range, according to USDA.
Exactly. So number three on your Hot Five list, another buzzword or things that people should know when they're going to shop this weekend for Memorial Day.
Yeah, you know, and it doesn't necessarily mean the same with beef cattle as it does with chickens when you say cage-free. You know, again, that's another buzzword that probably doesn't mean a whole lot in the chicken realm. What I would look for in chicken is organic,
Okay. Certified
organic. USDA, it's a round circle, and it's green, and it says USDA organic. And when you see that, or if you see the words organic, then you would look for the name of the certifier.
So, Rod, you are a small producer, or small to mid-range producer in Wyoming, right?
Well, I'm small in the realms of the beef, conventional beef. In America, we process we slaughter 42,000 cattle a day. My ranch has capacity for maybe 3,000.
Okay.
So yeah, in that relationship, yeah, I'm small, but in the ranching food producing business, I'm big.
Gotcha. So number two on Rocky Mountain Organic Meats Hot 5 is what we got for number two?
Well, you know, they mix up natural with no drugs, no hormones, or what they call never ever programs. Never ever means, I'm not really sure what it means, other than the fact they're declaring that they never ever use antibiotics or they never ever use hormones. But the point is, the cow is still eating feed that was either sprayed with herbicides or pesticides. And you know, as we all know, we are what we eat.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, pretty much, yep. And I'm a firm believer in organics. I mean, that is the purest thing left to eat on the planet.
Before we get to number one, and number one is not the top thing, it's just one of the final ones. I mean, I like that I can actually have you on the show and talk to someone who's producing meat for folks. I would say you're naming all these great points, but another big thing is if you can pick up the phone and talk to someone that's selling beef or chicken and ask these questions, I think someone is doing good, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely, and that's what we want for our ranch. We want people connected to us, connected to our food, and they know how we do it, and they get to know us. And, you know, to me, that's the connectivity that happens when you sit around the table. It's most important to know where, how, and who produces your food.
And you're definitely one of the rare farmers. There are a lot of farmers that are on social media, on Twitter. You see a lot more, but you're actually on there and you're engaging with people here in New York City, and you're in the Midwest. I love how you're staying connected to what's going on here, what's going on the West Coast. Big ups to you for that.
Oh, thank you very much, and I really appreciate your efforts in this whole thing too, because we have to get the word out to people that the way we're doing it is not sustainable. I mean, the extreme use of antibiotics in confined animal feeding operations, and I'm talking about beef, chicken, and pork, is inhumane. On top of that, it goes against Mother Nature and God. We do not want to be in a situation where we're using our antibiotics that we developed to fight off bacteria and use them subtherapeutically in growing food. It's just wrong.
Okay, so your last and final, is that your last and final on the Hot 5 with Rod Morrison of Rocky Mountain Meats? Is that your, or do you have one more for us?
Well, you know, I just want people to understand sustainability. And by that I mean lack of using carbon fuels, carbon chemicals, petrochemicals in food production. And that includes drugs. We just need to let Mother Nature do her thing. And that's what we do at Rocky Mountain Organic Meats. This is Mother Nature's finest rewards.
Rod, thank you so much for coming on Hot Grease. Have a great Memorial Day. And if you're listening, folks, you can go to RockyMTNCuts.com to find all about some great meat for Memorial Day. Have a good one, Rod.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Listeners, thank you again for listening to Hot Grease. Join me every Monday live at 3:30 Eastern Time on Heritage Radio Network. Until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer. This week, I came across a new website from the American Meat Institute and the American Meat Scientists Association. It's called www.meatmythcrushers.com. It purports to be addressing consumer concerns about additives such as sodium nitrates in your ham and turkey roll and whatever, and animal welfare and food safety. I noticed as I went through the Meat Myth Crushers website, however, that it did not address anything like subtherapeutic antibiotic use in the meat chain. So I'm not sure how many myths they intend to crush. But, you know, as I say, always say, it's good to know what the opposition is thinking. And if you want to be fair about any issues around the food scene, it's wise to keep up with their press as well as ours. That's it for Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer.
Did you know we have a cocktail show? Check out a clip from the speakeasy.
So it's kind of crazy. Over the last, like, I would say like 10 or so years, Irish whiskey has really made a huge comeback. I mean, it's always been big because of the fact that it's mostly blended and easier to drink. And especially like Jameson, obviously Bushmills, they've been doing really hardcore marketing pushes for those two over the past decade.
And there's no peat.
Right.
Which I think makes it a little bit more acceptable to sort of anybody between the ages of 16 and, 25 who's learning to drink whiskey. It's like,
It's like whiskey. I don't want to offend any Irishmen out there, but it's almost like an introductory whiskey, and it's almost a whiskey for people who don't normally drink whiskey.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Not to say that all Jameson.
If you like what you heard, the Speakeasy airs every Wednesday at 3 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast or check out the archives on our website.